What's the better option, a MIGA or a bank CD? Well, that's what we're going to talk about in episode 102 of the Atlas Annuity Podcast. Hi, everyone. My name is Marty Becker. I'm the owner and founder of Atlas Financial Strategies in St. Louis, Missouri, where we specialize in safe money retirement strategies. In today's episode, we're going to talk about the differences between MIGAs, or a multi-year guaranteed annuity, which is basically the insurance industry's version of a bank CD, versus actual bank CDs. Now, we have a little checklist here for those of you who are watching on YouTube. MIGAs and CDs are both free from stock market exposure and risk. They're both free from administrative fees. Okay, you don't pay a fee in either one of these. Is your money exposed to a guaranteed rate for the entire term of the product's contract? The answer is yes for both products. Here's where we start to differentiate, though. Is your interest tax deferred in a bank CD? The answer is no. Only if you're buying it through your IRA would it be tax deferred. But if not, you are going to receive a 1099-I on that interest every year. With any annuity product, all interest is tax deferred until you actually take it out. That's a big thing for some people who are very tax sensitive. Do you have penalty-free access to your money? In a CD, you don't. Now, there are some CDs that will allow you to take the interest out, but for the vast majority of them, all that interest is going to be deferred until the end of the term. However, MIGAs do allow for either interest-free withdrawals, or depending on the company, they will allow you to take up to 10% of the accumulated value, including the original principal that was funded with the annuity. Can you choose to have beneficiaries receive proceeds upon the policyholder's death? With CDs, you cannot. It must go to full term, and then it would be paid out. With MIGAs, if the original owner passes away, they will free up all of the money along with any interest that has accrued. Can you enjoy guaranteed lifetime income and tax-deferred advantages? With CDs, you cannot. With MIGAs, you can actually convert those into an income annuity that will either pay you for life or a specified period of time that was decided upon before the conversion. Can withdrawals be made prior to age 59 and a half without being penalized by the IRS? Now, this is a tricky one that a lot of people don't know about. With annuities, and we're talking about non-qualified annuities, and qualified actually, when you fund an annuity and you're under 59 and a half, for whatever reason, the IRS will still penalize you if you take the interest out. So if we're looking at using a MIGA for some sort of income supplement, we need to make sure that you're going to be over 59 and a half before you start taking the money out. Is your deposit FDIC insured? With CDs, the answer is yes. With MIGAs, the answer is no, and this is a topic that we haven't really talked about before in previous MIGA episodes, so we're going to dig into this portion of it because it is a relevant question and one that comes up quite a bit when I'm dealing with clients. So before we start digging into the protections that you have with annuities, let's just kind of put some things in context here, okay? One of the most recent financial crises that we've had, at least in our lifetimes and most likely the ones that are watching this, was in 2008. In 2008, 25 U.S. banks failed. That was just the beginning of that crisis. It really lasted, at least in the books, until 2012. So during the full financial crisis period, from 2008 to 2012, 465 U.S. banks failed. Now, again, a little context about that. 2008 always gets the big headlines because that's when Lehman Brothers and Bear Stearns failed. Okay, that was headline news. But the bulk of the actual bank failures happened after 2008. And that is as a recession continued to work its way through all their loan books. The worst year for bank failures was actually 2010, with 157 failures on record. And most of the failed institutions were the small and regional banks, not the big household names like the Lehman's and the Bear Stearns. So let's do a little apples to apples here. During that same financial crisis from 2008 to 2012, roughly 20 to 25 U.S. life insurance companies became insolvent during that period. And that's a commonly cited range from industry tracking that is overseen by the what's called the NAIC, National Association of Insurance Commissioners, and AM Best, which is kind of the main rating agency for insurance companies. Now, more context that we need to consider here. There were between 1,200 to 1,300 life insurers operating in the U.S. at the time. So the insolvency rate was 2% or less. And these were not household name life insurers, okay? And again, we don't even know if these particular companies even had annuities that they offered. We're just talking life insurance companies because they're the ones that issue annuities. But what most people don't realize is that policyholders continue to receive their benefits, either through the assumption by a stronger carrier, meaning they had reinsurance, or another company stepped in and took over their policies, or via the state guarantee associations. So by comparison, 465 banks failed from 2008 to 2012, and that bank failure rate was quite a bit higher, especially among community in regional banks. So the question is, why do life insurance companies hold up better than banks? The reason is life insurers are asset liability matched. Okay, they have to have at least the same amount of capital as they do in liabilities. They don't face what they call run on the bank risk, meaning everybody shows up and wants their money back. That's why annuities have surrender charges, is to help prevent that. They were going in with the mindset that this is a longer-term commitment for a better alternative and better benefits. Capital requirements for insurance companies are way more conservative than they are for banks. And the products are contractual, not demand deposit, meaning this isn't the type of product that we can just put in and then call them up 3 weeks later and say, hey, I changed my mind. I want my money back, even though they do give you a 30-day window to do that. But even during 2008, insurers tightened credit rates. Some needed capital infusions, but policy obligations were met. Now, what were the actual ratings of those companies that failed? That's another big question that I get. What's the rating of the company? Important question. But unfortunately, there is no like single official list that cleanly says, here are all the life insurers that failed between this time frame, and this was their exact rating the day before insolvency. And the reason that is because insolvencies are actually handled on a state-by-state basis, and the ratings are often withdrawn or suspended before formal insolvency is filed. But many of those companies were already distressed well before 2008, okay? So that said, we do know which life insurers failed during that period and their general rating conditions going into it. And again, that's primarily from the NAIC and the state receivership records. But here's what we do know, is that none of the insurers that failed were rated B plus or higher, nor were they widely used household named annuity carriers. Now, I don't put too much stock in that because there's about 200 companies that offer annuities, and you probably haven't heard of 190 of them to begin with, but none of the big ones that people know, the Nationwides, even the AIG, their insurance branch was totally fine during 2008, and they were all considered financially strong going into 2008. The common characteristics before their failure, though, was they had not great ratings, C plus, B minus. Anything below a B plus, I would just stay away from. They already had negative outlooks for the company, the watch list or the rating withdrawals, and longstanding capital or product issues. These are things that we want to check out before we fund an annuity with any company. But what we know what didn't happen again is during 2008 to 2012, no B plus rated or better life insurance company became insolvent. No policyholders at strong carriers lost benefits, and the guarantee associations were sufficient in all cases. So let's go back to what actually protects your annuity. There are several layers of protection before the company would ever become insolvent. Number one, annuity companies are not allowed to risk your money. The vast majority of their investment portfolio goes into investment-grade bonds. Now, they also have bigger financial institutions backing them up. Then, if those two first levels were to fail, then the state insurance commissioner steps in and he tries to find another company to absorb all the existing policies. If that doesn't work, then you default to this thing called the State Guarantee Association. Now, disclaimer, they're very sensitive on how we discuss this, okay? You're not allowed to use this as part of a sales pitch. So as a general disclaimer here, this is not an inducement for purchase of any type of annuity. This information is for educational purposes only. But the vast majority of people who call me, they're already aware of this. But let's talk about what this actually is, okay? Each state, each individual state has a life and health insurance guarantee association, and it's coordinated nationally through the National Organization of Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association. Say that five times. These associations exist to protect policyholders if a licensed insurance company becomes insolvent. These associations are created by state law. They are funded by insurance companies, not the taxpayers. That's a win as far as I'm concerned. And they're activated only if a carrier fails. Okay, so what I normally tell people is it acts very much like an FDIC system, except this actually has money in it because it's not funded by tax money. So if an insurance company is declared insolvent by a state court, number one, the state insurance department takes control of the company. The guarantee association steps in, and the policies are typically, number one, either transferred to a financially stronger insurer, or number two, continued under the guarantee system up to the coverage limits. Now, most policyholders continue to receive the contracted annuity payments, the life insurance death benefits, or the cash value within their policy. But like anything, it has limits that we want to keep in mind, okay? That coverage is not unlimited. Now, typical limits in many states is going to be $300,000 coverage in life insurance death benefits, $100,000 in life insurance cash value, or $250,000 in annuity present value benefits. Okay, so that's pretty standard for annuities across the country, $250,000. Some states may provide a little higher in some of these categories, but for annuities, let's just assume $250,000 for your state. Here's the thing, the coverage applies per person, per insurance company, per state of residency. Now, I have a very good client who has a ton of money in MIGAs. This is all he wants to do is MIGAs. I'm very happy to oblige. And the plan that we've used for him is we put one policy in his name, another one in his wife's name, up to that $250,000 limit. Once we reach that limit with each company and each spouse, we move on to the next company. And that is a way to protect that money. And again, that is the nuclear option. As long as we're staying with highly rated companies, this should never be an issue. But just in case, we have this fail-safe here. Now, let's talk about what the State Guarantee Association system is not. It is not FDIC insurance. It is not a government-backed guarantee, and it is not to be used as any type of sales feature. So don't get an annuity just because of this, okay? Make sure the annuity fits the purpose of the money and what you're trying to accomplish. And it does not eliminate the importance of selecting a financially strong carrier. For my clients, B plus or above. For MIGAs, income annuities, we're going A rated. And the reason this whole system exists is to maintain the consumer confidence, ensure continuity of benefits, and to provide an orderly resolution if a company does fail. Okay, everyone, so I hope that clears up any confusion that you had between the differences of a multi-year guaranteed annuity versus a bank CD. Now, if you're new to annuities and you just kind of stumble across this, the best thing you can do is go to atlasannuity.com, click on the videos tab, and watch my five-part video series called 20% More Spendable Income in Retirement. And if you've been looking at annuities for a while and you're not getting your questions answered the way you'd like to, the next best thing is to book a call with me, okay? Book a short Zoom. We'll get your questions answered. And if you go to atlasannuity.com, that takes you directly to my calendar page. And again, we always want to say thank you for joining us. If you're liking the content, please subscribe, give us a thumbs up, and share this information with someone that you think can benefit from hearing it. And again, this has been episode 102 of the Atlas Annuity Podcast. My name is Marty Becker, wishing you all the best in your financial education.